It yeah, should
that's
respond.
That's just a little comment.
That's a little comment. Yes.
Yeah. Mark, have you gotten any indication in your research as to what has happened the last two or three times Nibiru has come through the solar system?
Well, of course. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Of course, what you had was what Jim was explaining during a previous radio show that I was listening very close to. You have tides in the ocean and tides in the crust. And he could probably explain it a lot better, but these crustal tides would simply be like throwing a blanket all around the, like you're making a bed, and the roll of the blanket, the tides would happen on the crustal surface. And it would not be a very good, if you were in the desert watching this thing, you could watch the rolls come towards you of these tides, in other words, quakes. And that's mm-hmm. just talking about the quakes, not the hurricanes or the mantle slipping over the core.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good example, or like a rope, you know, how you take a rope or a garden hose and you flip it and it carries the wave along. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what would happen in the Earth's mantle. As this object would pass near Earth.
So that could be one of the easiest explanations for them finding a city off Cuba at 2,100 feet underwater.
Oh, absolutely. And the Earth just didn't do this. I was on a show the other night, and a caller called in. He said, there's a professor who's saying that the Earth is going to flip its poles simultaneously or spontaneously in a such, you know, something 2003, and I said, you know, this is disinformation. The Earth just doesn't do this on its own. We're talking incredible amounts of energy to produce this type of thing. We know that the Earth's poles have shifted physically, not the magnetic poles.
Right.
I mean, the magnetic poles have shifted also, but the physical poles of the Earth have shifted, and we have a little thing called angular momentum in physics, which says that once something is moving in a circular rotating motion, it's going to keep doing that unless some force changes it.
Yeah, right.
And in the case of a planet rotating, a solid planet, this is not a gas planet, we're talking about the mantle of the Earth,
mm-hmm.
you need incredible forces to raise continents to lower continents, to build mountains, and to change the rotation of the Earth. And now, once again, I want to make it clear that Mark mentioned this, that the mantle of the Earth is separate from the core of the Earth by this viscous volcanic fluid layer. So when typically they're moving together, but if you have this ripple effect, this tidal force, racing through the surface of the Earth like a blanket or like a hose that you've just flipped and there's a wave traveling down it, that's going to, if this thing comes by in the right direction, like has happened in the past, that wave will actually wrench the mantle of the Earth to a different location, and then it will actually pick up and spin again. A real good example, a daily example of this that people can use is a hard-boiled and a soft-boiled egg. If you take a hard-boiled egg and spin it, in fact, cooks will do this to tell if an egg is hard-boiled or not.
Right.
A hard-boiled egg, when you spin it, it keeps spinning. A soft-boiled egg, and just go to the refrigerator, grab an egg, and spin it, and what happens is very quickly it stops spinning. And the reason for that is because when you spin that outer shell, you are not spinning the liquid shell on the inside.
Right.
And so the liquid shell, liquid part on the inside is just sitting there in spite of the fact that you're spinning the shell of the egg. And very quickly, the shell will pick up the rotation of the fluid in the middle and slow down. And that's exactly what happens with the Earth during one of these events.
Hmm.
And this is very important relative to Planet X, because what I've been saying all along is that as this very large object comes in, it's going to ignite into a large comet. And when it does become visible, everybody will be able to see it as a large comet.
Now, do you mean, Jim, that when it comes in more to the atmosphere, it's going to start to light up?
Yeah, into the solar system, just like Hale-Bopp. Hale-Bopp was a large comet, and it was visible way out beyond Saturn, and, of course, it was first visible with telescopes. It was actually discovered by Mr. Hale and Mr. Bopp, who were amateurs, with, you know, average backyard. They had nice telescopes, but average backyard telescopes by today's standards.
Jim, could I interrupt there for a minute with a question?
Sure.
Neil Freer here.
Yeah.
The classic model of the comet is that the tail is generated by stuff that is being gradually worn off the surface, whereas you're saying that the better theory is that that material, though reflective, is actually being drawn to the comet as it passes through space.
Yeah, and it's a plasma effect, and I don't want to go into it here, and of course, if people who are familiar with my webpage and my published papers and other materials of mine know that, I mean, you can delve into the theory on how this works. Basically, the comet becomes a giant vacuum cleaner, sucking in the tail material and becoming bigger. So, in other words, eventually they become big enough to where they become planets, and the thing that's going to affect us here is that the other thing that NASA always tries to say is that, well, unless one of these things hits us directly, then nothing will happen to us. And that's totally incorrect.
I would think so.
The point with Planet X, once again, is that even as it enters the solar system and begins this electrical discharge with the sun, it's going to start affecting the solar weather. And I know from watching the sun every night in the last month, the sun, it looks like a popcorn popper right now. The solar flares coming off the sun are just like a popcorn popper going off, where it used to be every few days you might get a nice flare.
Yeah.
Now it's like every 10 minutes. And nobody's talking about this. In fact, I saw an article that was just released by NASA, one of their Please Don't Worry articles, that said we are about to head into the minimum. Don't worry, the sun's going to calm down. And by the way, it's year 2002. We were supposed to be at the solar maximum in the year 2000. And it's still going up.
Yeah.
It was something like 527
flares
or something? Just
the sunspot count.
Sunspot count.
Yeah, and it's still going up. And a very interesting thing happened the last couple of nights, as long as we're on the topic of comets. A brand new comet came in, visible on the SOHO satellite. That's the one that sits out a million miles from Earth and just does nothing but looks at the sun all day and all night.
Yeah.
And a comet came in, wrapped around the sun, and just as it hit perihelion, right the closest approach to the sun, it came flare that was existent. But the sun blew off a total, what they call a full coronal mass ejection. In other words, the entire surface of the sun lifted up and blew out into space. And we'll see the effects of that tomorrow or tomorrow night sometime in high winds and storms on Earth. But
Jim, not to get too much into detail, but the when there's a coronal mass ejected like that, and it obviously, in this case, it heads for Earth, in your opinion, how lethal are those blasts at this particular point in time?
They're still minimal, but the point is we're seeing. In fact, I'm about to post this event on my homepage, and we'll talk about that a little later. But this event and two others, which are direct evidence that as comets approach the sun, you can see the electrical discharge and then the sun blow off, you know, blow a big head off. Mm-hmm. And the point is, when Planet X comes in, it's going to be affecting the sun in a tremendously accelerated level, and goodbye solar maximum. We're going to go way above solar maximum, and this is going to directly affect our weather.
And that's
the beginning.
Jim, hang on a minute, because we have Mark with us.
So, Mark, your opinion still holds that, as many of us think, the reason for the silence, it's not even a cover-up.
It's a blackout.
It's a blackout. It is simply because those who know that they can't do a damn thing about it, and therefore, why say anything, because it's just going to cause panic?
Well, yes, that is their reason. But you have to understand, these people are overthinking this thing, in my opinion, now.
Mm-hmm.
These guys that work for DOD, military, CIA, they're very bright, and they just assume that people have similar intelligence. I don't really believe if you even started announcing this thing that too many people would pay attention. I really don't believe that the people would actually change their lives or move away from unsafe areas en masse. You know, a few select groups would, of course, but they are overestimating what the public en masse will react to. They don't listen to talk radio, the public en masse. They don't read much. They just go about their daily lives and struggle through them, and they don't pay much attention. If they heard about a planet, they say, "Oh yeah," and then turn away.
Yeah,
I would like to think you're right, Mark, but you know, we got 275 million, 280 million people in our country. You don't need a very large percentage of people interested in what might happen, and my goodness gracious, it would cause such an upheaval in not only our country, but then you look at most of the other developed countries in the world, and the same thing would begin to happen, I think.
Well, I don't really know about that. I mean, there's always a certain percentage of people that would pay attention, but see, this
sure.
is way too involved. It is a lot of, you'd have to do a lot of research just to find out, you know, the past calamities and the level of them for someone to even begin to make a decision, and just a little bit of disinformation such that, well, possibly this time it won't be as severe, we'll get a lot of people turning their head.
Okay, everybody, we have to take a quick break, so we will be right back with our guest. After the break, I will again introduce everybody, but you are listening to Mysteries of the Mind.
I'm John DiNardo for Planet X in Bible Prophecy. Your help is needed to warn of disastrous windstorms and floods, catastrophic earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, which God is bringing upon the world in order to shock people to open their hearts to God, our Savior, Yahshua Jesus.